Hello, and welcome to United Way Cares on KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Tracy Gurley-Tomaszewski, and I am a board member for United Way Battlement to the Bells. United Way Battlement to the Bells' mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of communities throughout the Roaring Fork, Crystal, and Colorado River Valleys, from Battlement Mesa to Aspen, and to advance the common good for all, focusing on education, financial well-being, and health. We work to support local nonprofits through funding, and now with the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista Project. To learn more, please call 970-625-8189 or visit unitedwaybb.org. Today, Christina Gare and Sophia Obden are joining me from West Regional Mountain Health Alliance. Sophia is the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista serving with them, and Christina Gare is the Executive Director. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. It's so good to hear your voices.
Good to hear yours.
So, yeah, it's been a while since we've actually seen each other in person, and I haven't heard in a little while what it is you all are up to over at West Mountain Regional Health Alliance.
We are doing a lot of things. So West Mountain Regional Health Alliance, our mission is to build a comprehensive integrated health system to get to all residents having optimal health in our region, which includes Eagle, Garfield, and Pitkin counties. We work on several things. We work on advocacy and education. We also work on building more integrated services, and that means physical, mental, oral health, as well as social health. We work on social determinants of health, and finally, we are aligning health initiatives throughout the valley.
And what are you all doing right now to further your mission?
We're doing a lot of things. One of the things we do is called the Accountable Health Communities Model. This is a model that's put together by the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. We are the community lead for our region, and with that, we have 25 clinics and hospitals surveying social needs of patients and clients. And from that, they're referred to care coordination or provided resources. So one of our specific projects is around housing and health, and more specifically around permanent supportive housing for chronic homeless, which is essentially affordable housing with services attached. Sophia, do you want to talk a little bit about the project you've been doing around interviewing different people around the homeless issue and mental health?
Absolutely. So some projects I have been working on are recently updating resource lists through AHCM. We provide resource lists to the community, so we have food resource lists, utilities, transportation, housing, and I believe a couple other ones, which include Garfield, Eagle, and Pitkin. And then a bigger project I've been working on is a regional health connector office of behavioral health homelessness project. So the goal of that project is essentially to take a needs assessment of the current homeless response in our area. And so I've been interviewing a bunch of people who work in homelessness and asking them what they're currently doing and what they think needs to be done to create a more robust system. And that's been really interesting to hear all these different perspectives, people who work direct service or maybe refer people or provide housing. You know, there's so many different areas that are able to help. And then personally, that information is for the Office of Behavioral Health, and they will take that and hopefully make some changes to our homeless response. And the goal is to make some systems level changes rather than just like temporary funding or something.
And then I want to take that data that I've gathered and map it out, get the numbers from it, and see what we as an organization can do with that.
And is that permanent supportive housing piece a part of that potentially?
It could be, yes. I think that this will show that there is a need for permanent supportive housing. There's a different level of housing depending on how vulnerable the individual experiencing homelessness is in their life. And so this is going to help us get a better picture of the system and where we have strengths and where we have gaps that need to be filled. The other thing is this is part of our Built for Zero project, where West Mountain acts as the community lead for this group that includes partners including Garfield County Human Services, Pitkin County Human Services, Aspen Homeless Shelter, Catholic Charities, City of Glenwood Springs, Eagle County Housing Authority, and Mind Springs Health. And so we're all working together on really building a more robust homeless response system. The reason being, one of the things that really came out during the pandemic and COVID-19, we were already talking together through Built for Zero, and we were able to mobilize quickly to be able to do things during COVID-19, including things around sanitation, such as masks and hand sanitizer, as well as moving to having temporary housing spaces. For example, Pitkin County set up a safe outdoor space camping area so that people could have a safe place to be. And we received new funding that allows for some temporary emergency shelters and whatnot. So this has been, it's been an exciting process. And again, this is not the only thing we do. It just happens to be something that's really moving forward in a significant way. And so that's very exciting because we feel like everybody deserves a home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that we say, we talk a lot about things that prevent people from living their most healthy lives. Those social, what did you call them, Christina? I'm going to say it wrong.
Social determinants of health.
Of health. Yeah. What, can you talk a little bit more about what that is?
Yes, so there's kind of a circle of how you get healthier. And your clinical, your visits to the doctor and or the hospital actually only comprise 20% of how you get healthier. Social determinants of health are approximately another 40%+. So if you don't have adequate food or housing, it is going to be really difficult to follow procedure to get healthier, whether that's your physical health, your mental health, or whatnot. The other piece is behavior change. So all of these things work together, and that's why there's finally this understanding. I think public health has known it for a long time, but this understanding that social determinants of health and actual health, whether it's physical, mental, or other types of health, go hand in hand in order to give someone a chance to really become, get to optimal health and to be able to make that a priority. It's hard to make health a priority if you're trying to make sure you have enough food on the table.
Absolutely. And in your interviews, Sophia, are these the concerns that are coming up and the things that you're hearing from our community as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Valley is a very interesting, different place than most places, especially because we are a tri-county region and people traverse all three places. But primarily we're looking at the lack of a shelter in Garfield County, or what else? The lack of the amount of case management that is necessary to support people who are experiencing homelessness. I've heard of a lot of people really looking at it from a layered perspective, like this isn't just homelessness. There's so many things stacked on top of it that allow for somebody to even become homeless and get in this position in the first place. So how can we not only house them, but make sure that they stay housed and have the life skills to be able to pay their bills, clean up after themselves, take care of themselves, like hygiene, showering, get a job, and then become stable eventually.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting because we as a society have always assumed that those skills, some of those life skills, are being taught in the home. And I think a lot of people also thought that those skills were being taught in the school as well. And we're learning more and more that these are skills that haven't really been addressed in our society for some time now by any entity or social group. So it's really fascinating to hear this research and hear how you all are involved with helping things change in our community. So West Mountain Regional Health Alliance, it is such a big name, but it really represents so much. And I know you all have some clinics throughout our valley. Can you tell us a little bit more about what services are offered through your organization?
Just to clarify, Tracy, we do not have clinics. We partner some with Mountain Family Health Centers, which has clinics throughout the region, but we actually are a convener, neutral convener, and facilitator organization. So we help to work on the health system overall, but we don't do any sort of direct service work with patients or clients. What we do is try to build really understanding and support around the issues. For example, we just finished a project that we did with Pitkin County Public Health. They received a grant called Protect Our Neighbors, and we got five bilingual, bicultural individuals to interview almost 300 people in the Hispanic Latinx population to find out about the effects of COVID-19 and the needs. And what we found was financial stability and insecurity was a great issue because some people lost their job or had reduced hours. The other things we found out were a sense of safety was lacking, especially like when you talked about the elders, because the news was definitely pushing that. If you're older, you have to be extremely careful. There was also issues, mental health was actually the number one. And I'll be honest, I think mental health and behavioral health is going to be such a big focus in the coming year and beyond, because partially because of the pandemic, but also just in general, this has been an issue for a long time. And then finally, there were some issues around schools and whatnot, because sometimes some of the Hispanic Latinx families didn't have adequate internet service or the right computers. And the kids weren't necessarily motivated to do that type of school. So it was quite the eye opener. And now we're working on, as Sophia mentioned, we're working on looking at those resources from that perspective and from that lens of how to help the Hispanic Latinx population. Because A, they didn't know about a lot of the resources that are available, or B, they couldn't access them either because there wasn't someone that spoke Spanish or they just didn't know how to. So that's been an interesting project as well that we're moving forward on, too, because of the makeup of our valley has changed and really being able to serve all people. So there's a lot of populations that were disproportionately affected by COVID-19, including Hispanic, Latinx, and homeless individuals experiencing homelessness.
I'd also like to mention that through that research, they also found that even if information was out there, it may not have been through the load of information that the Latinx community consumes media through. So whether that be like Facebook or certain channels on TV or certain radio channels, they weren't putting that information in those spaces. And I would also like to mention that our resource lists are available in Spanish and in English.
That's awesome. Thank you for correcting me, Christina. Being a little abstract ourselves at United Way, sometimes we forget what everyone else is up to and what they're doing. So thank you for correcting me. And I love to hear that you guys are doing so much around making sure that all of those in our community have the ability to access information as they need it, especially when we're experiencing a global pandemic. So can you tell us a little bit more about how West Regional Mountain Health Alliance is funded and what you all need to continue doing the work you're doing in the community?
Absolutely, and no worries. We're like United Way, Battlements of the Bells, and just so you guys know, I'm on the board as well for United Way. We are a little bit more abstract of an organization. A majority of our funding comes from grant funding, either local, state, and we also have, at times, we have national, federal funding. We also receive membership dues from our board of directors, which is comprised of leaders from the health system who are decision makers and can help to make the change. And so that's really, really powerful. We also do a lot around collaborative efforts. So we're not just looking for funds for West Mountain. We also look for funds that can support needs within the community, and so and support other organizations kind of meeting those needs. So it's kind of a unique situation where we support the work, but we're also supporting some direct service indirectly by trying to bring in funds for those needs based on the data that we're seeing and the interviews that we do and the conversations that we have throughout the community. I mean, we participate in a lot of different groups. We also lead some of these groups, and I think what we're seeing is just the need to have the right people at the table, the need to diversify at times, and also just the need to create situations where our elected officials are really listening to the nonprofit sector, because we're the ones seeing kind of on the ground work what's happening and what potentially needs to happen.
Yeah, it is so important to have groups like West Regional Mountain Health Alliance that can kind of take that bird's eye view of what's really happening and be able to give that advice and help facilitate moving things forward. Because without it, I feel like a lot of times, especially in this area, we all are kind of doing our own thing and we're not collaborating in the ways that would best maximize our efficiency in the community. And when you have a global pandemic, it's vitally important that everyone is working together and maximizing all of the efficiency that they can. So I'm so grateful to hear about your work. Sophia, you mentioned that everything is up to date on your website. Can you share with our listeners how folks can find your website?
Yes, sorry about that. The website is westmountainhealthalliance.org, I believe. So is that correct, Christina?
Yes, it is westmountainhealthalliance.org.
All right, I knew I was missing a word. I wasn't sure which one. Yes, everything should be up to date. We've just hired an admin assistant for Christina, so she gets to work on all of that good stuff. But we have a lot of updating to do for the website, and we just recently updated the resource list. So we're getting this translated, and those will be up. The translations will be up as soon as we get them back. The previous translations should still be on the website. And everything, for the most part, for the ones that I worked on, was still up to date. So whether it is the updated one or it's not, the information is there, and people can call, see what's going on, and get all their things they need figured out.
It's funny, you speak of that resource list, and Christina and I were discussing that a week ago, and how talk about not maximizing efficiency, everyone seems to have their own resource list right now, but absolutely, West Regional Mountain Health Alliance's list is very comprehensive, and I encourage people to check it out. And before I let you go, I just want to ask Sophia, tell us a little bit about your year of service and what brought you to the Roaring Fork Valley.
Yeah, so my year of service, I'm about 6 months in. It's been really enriching and interesting and really great to work with such an amazing group of people. They're so supportive. And I love asking questions and just learning more about the organization and the region. So I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised there. I went to college at the University of South Carolina. And then in February 2020, I had plans to join the Peace Corps in Senegal and be a health volunteer. So we went to Senegal. We were there for a month, and then the pandemic hit, and Peace Corps shut down globally, so I was at home for like 5 months, and I had a friend doing VISTA in Colorado, and she encouraged me to apply, and I found this great position. I was a little bit nervous about moving somewhere cold because I'm not a cold weather person at all, but my brother's in Boulder, so I figured it would be fine. I have a support system close by. And it's really been great. It's so gorgeous here. I'm learning so much. This community is so different from any community that I've lived in. And something really interesting I've gotten out of this is I've always wanted to do international work, global health. My dad is from Kenya. My mom lived there for a while, and I've always wanted to follow in her footsteps. And health is really interesting to me, so I wanted to do something with health abroad. But then, you know, the pandemic hit, and you sort of forget that America is huge, and there's so much opportunity in so many different kinds of communities, so many different microcultures here that you can indulge in, just like you go absorb another culture in a whole other country. And just realizing that helps me appreciate that what I'm doing, and as if I'm not like losing something by missing an opportunity there, but I'm actually growing and being so enriched by this new community that's even closer than leaving the country.
That's so interesting. I know when I travel in the United States, I often feel like, wow, I know we're all Americans and we all live in the United States, but your lives are so different from mine. You live so differently from me. And so that is a really good point. And I'm glad that you've had such a good year of service, Sophia. We really appreciate you being here. And it's been wonderful getting to know you and working with you. And you have 6 more months. So I look forward to hearing what else you do. For our listeners, I want to remind everyone, their website is westmountainhealthalliance.org. Great resources and a great organization. I encourage you to check them out. And if you want to learn more about United Way, Battlements to the Bells, you're welcome to check out our website, unitedwaybb.org. Christina and Sophia, thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy. And I just wanted to add, that the AmeriCorps VISTA program has been awesome. We're very happy to have Sophia on the team. And I must say that, like, what a great thing to have in our community where United Way supports several nonprofit organizations to build capacity. And so thank you, Sophia, and thank United Way to have this opportunity.
Awesome. I appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you both in the future.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Thanks for tuning in to United Way Cares. Have a great day.